My title this morning, though, is Expect the Unexpected. It's as though, isn't it, that I was being set up to expect the unexpected. Now, listen, Lola's learned, as she's now gone out, so I'm allowed to share this. Lola's learned in our house to expect the unexpected, okay? Why do you say that, Matthew? Some of you will know that only a matter of weeks ago, whilst Lola was out, Jack and I decided to go and fetch a baby lamb. I know. Now, we did that on a whim. So when Lol turned back up, Jack was actually sat in the front seat of the van with the lamb wrapped up in a blanket, and Lol went, "What have you done?" She's learned over the years, though, to expect the unexpected. Lammy is doing very well. She has been called Honey, and she is delightful. She was running around yesterday. I had to catch her three times because she was blown away with the wind. How windy was it yesterday? It was awful. I cut the grass and there is no grass to see. It is all blown away. Fabulous. Next door must be fuming. It is what it is. So yes, to expect the unexpected. And I think it's fair to say that we all have different expectations of pretty much everything. But let's make it sensible for where we're at this morning. That we all have different expectations of God. What he's doing or what he's going to do in any given situation. Be that, I guess, a global event or be it very personal. We all expect God to do something. But we all expect him, on the most part, to do something perhaps different to the next person. Our expectations are different. Expectation, then, defined by the Oxford English Dictionary, is a strong belief that something will happen or be the case. Now, I think that sort of errs on the positive, doesn't it? Now, I'll read it again. A strong belief that something will happen or be the case. But perhaps we could just say it in a different way, not so positive light also. Reality had not lived up to my expectations. I hope Lol's never said. Reality had not lived up to my expectations. So the question is for us this morning, for you, what are our expectations of God? To bring world peace? That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Or to give me enough strength to just get through each day? Both are great expectations, but there's a chasm, isn't there, between them in terms of impact globally. As we've celebrated Easter, we got to see early on the Sunday morning last week that the tomb was empty. An angel declaring, "He is not here, he is risen." Hallelujah. What were they expecting when they went to the tomb? What were they expecting as they gathered all their stuff together and walked that road to get there? Jesus then appears to the two women and clarifies via the angels that the news that Jesus is risen. And they rush off to tell the disciples. But I guess what were they expecting then? That they've seen that the tomb is empty. The angels have declared that Jesus is risen. And they meet Jesus in the garden. And now they go to see the disciples to go and tell them, what are they expecting? Wow, that's amazing news. Fantastic. No. Are you mad? That's what they got. But what were they expecting? And I guess the disciples, perhaps when they came back, when the women returned, they were expecting them to say, "We've dressed Jesus' body and we've left him to rest." Is that not what they were expecting? Is that not what everything should point to? Is that not what we should expect? But that kind of thinking got me to thinking, are our expectations limited by how much we are our expectations limited by how much we listen? Or maybe are our expectations limited by how much we look? Maybe they were expecting the unexpected, but they never expected that. After all, Jesus, listen, had told them several times that he was going to be handed over to the chief priests and to the rulers, and he was going to be killed. And after 3 days, he was going to rise again. He told them, but were they listening? Or maybe they were listening, but it seemed impossible. And so often, if we're not careful, we can hear these things, but we put them out of mind because it's impossible that that can happen. Jesus had declared what was going to happen. But when you put yourself in the picture or in the scenario that the disciples were in, this God-man who'd raised the dead to life before their very eyes, he made the lame walk and the blind see, and how nervous was I in accidentally saying he made the lame see and the blind walk. I got it right the wrong way around as well. But even though they'd seen all of that, that he would be able to go one step further with his own resurrection. Surely they didn't expect that. So had they listened, or was it a lack of faith? Had they listened, or was it a lack of faith? On the Sunday Jesus rose, he came across two disciples heading out of Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they have an incredible afternoon as the risen Messiah shares what they perhaps had missed. And this is where we pick up the account in Luke chapter 24. It says, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Obviously, the taxis weren't running as it was Sunday. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. If you're an underliner or a highlighter, just put something there and I'll come back to it. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of her companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken.'" You see how Jesus is saying that and the tense that he's saying it in. They know because they've heard. But he says, how foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us. Now it's nearly evening, the day is almost over. So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Now these two are on about a 7-mile walk, as scripture tells us, talking about all that's happened over the last few days when Jesus shows up and casually just walks along with them. Now I'm pretty sure that this is the last thing that they expect. Yet, that's what happens. And after some questioning, Jesus takes the opportunity to open up the scriptures and reveal to them perhaps what they had missed. That he reveals to them all about the Messiah. And that tells us in verse 27. Now Jesus has kept from them who he is and that it's him. And in a few miles, he's been able to enlighten them to the entirety of scripture. And to point them to exactly what had to happen. And as they sit down to eat at their destination, their eyes are open, they realize it's Jesus, and he disappears from their sight. Now, I know that in this moment, there would be, wouldn't there, so many expectations exceeded. Imagine walking 7 miles, talking to this person who seems to know more than the average person, who unlocks the scriptures to the point where you're just like, wow, please don't go. Come and stay with us overnight. You don't need to go. And Jesus sits down with them and then reveals who he is. The expectations have just been blown out of the water. Jesus has appeared to them, but he's been raised alive, first of all. He's walking with them and he's sharing with them and so on. But dare we say that there are expectations that might not have been met in this moment? Jesus, you've risen. Surely now you're going to overthrow the Romans. Is now the time? Like, they've tried to defeat you, but you have not been defeated. He's overcome death. Yet still the Romans are in charge. There's been no flashes of lightning or huge, powerful overthrow. But I guess the question is still, are we listening? Jesus didn't throw in, and I think when you look at scripture, often you have to have a look at it from the other angle and ask the question, what isn't it saying? Jesus doesn't throw in some new radical revelation about what has happened or how it's occurred. Jesus simply goes to what has already been written. He goes to show them exactly what has been laid out. He goes to show them that the Messiah had to suffer these things, that there's a bigger picture in play. And Jesus just carefully goes through the scriptures to open those up to them and enlighten them with his teaching. He showed them what was already there. Now, they either hadn't looked or they hadn't listened. Now, we can be sure that they had looked because Jesus said that phrase that we've already seen. They had looked, but they hadn't listened. Or maybe they'd done both. They had looked, they had listened, but they simply could not believe that Jesus could do that. They simply could not possibly believe that Jesus would be raised back to life. They certainly didn't expect it to happen. And I guess that's a real challenge for us, church. Firstly, are we looking? And that's really important. Secondly, are we listening? And that is also really important. But thirdly, do we know, do we understand that we worship a God of the immeasurably more? We worship a God who isn't limited by what we're limited by. We worship a God who is in control of all things. When we look around about us and we think it's out of control, it can't possibly be. You say, Matt, how do you know? Because God's written it, has he not? Is it not in the scripture? Does it not say he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end? Does it not tell us how, in essence, it ends? Does it not tell us that he's won? Oh, no, it does. But you see, we forget to look. Or maybe we forget to listen. Or maybe we do both. But it seems impossible. Church, we worship a God of the immeasurably more. And I think that is a personal challenge to each and every one of us. What are my expectations? And do they line up with Scripture? And there's a lot in that for those that would go and look. What are my expectations? And do they line up with Scripture? Because I, like you, I want world peace. That's not a bad thing. But the Bible says, outside of God ruling, that isn't going to happen. And my expectations say, God, surely that can happen. You can do that. Yes, he can. And he will do, but not yet. And church, we have to make sure that our expectations are lined up with what Scripture says. Else otherwise, we can find ourselves, well, disappointed. We can find ourselves in a position where we go, well, God didn't meet my expectations. It's bigger than you. There was no amen there. That's a shame. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than all of us. But listen, let me tell you this. It's not bigger than God. Amen? He is in control of all things. At our moment where we struggle and God doesn't seem to be meeting our expectations, is God in that moment? Yes. And if you're not nodding, why not? Yes, he is. And I know, because I'm not daft, I've experienced life too. There are times when I think, Lord, what is going off? I can't see a way out of this. Let me assure you, he is the God of the immeasurably more. He doesn't take his eye off the ball. He doesn't get tired like you and me. He's not fed up when Monday comes round. Honestly. He is absolutely, categorically in control. He is in charge of all things. And I know this because the Word says, and I have no reason to doubt it. It has been accurate to this point. Amen? We have no reason to doubt what God has written. There are prophecies in here about the Messiah that was to come that were hundreds of years before it happened. And there are prophecies still yet to be fulfilled. Do you think God's going to fulfill them when he's fulfilled every single one that he wrote about to this point? And unconvinced was the lethargy that I got. Oh, you can be sure that he's not about to fail now. He is absolutely in control. But in this text also, there's a huge dose of encouragement. In Matthew 18 and verse 20, Jesus says, "For where two or three gather," and Kev said this in his lead up to his prayer, during his prayer, "where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." And here in Luke 24, we see just that. These two disciples were doing life together. They were discussing the word. They were discussing Jesus. And as they do that, Jesus is right there with them. And that encouraged me, because pre the cross, I get it. But now we're post-cross. And Jesus is right there with them. And church, that is so comforting, that we are not on our own. That when we step into a Monday, or whatever day it might be, that we are not on our own. We have the Holy Spirit within us. God is right there with us. He's not leaving us on our own. He's not letting us suffer. He is right there with us. And he's going to fill our lives with the things, God willing, that are going to stir our affection for Jesus. But we have to let him do it. We have to allow him to fill our lives with these things. The Saviour, as we have seen here, as we have experienced in our own lives, and I'm certain that we'll experience in the future, that he is right there with us. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just want to thank you once again this morning for your word. And Father, for this challenge that we've been set out to align our expectations with what your word says, to know that you're in control, to know that you're the beginning and the end. And Lord, we thank you that you have laid everything out for us, Father, that we can see, we can know and understand that you are in complete control. So we just pray, Lord God, that you would just bless us, Father, that you'd encourage us from this word. And Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that just needs to know that you are fighting with them, that you are fighting for them, that Father, your Holy Spirit might just move and that might know and understand that peace that passes understanding. You are the God of the immeasurably more. So Father, as we just continue in our worship together, we pray, Lord God, that you would just bless us. We ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen.